ध्यायामूदबलापगुण्डनपतिं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। The previous day we saw Narada giving an example for true devotion or real bhakti. So real bhakti is when a person is remembering the Lord Ishwara as Advitiya Satyam. So everything is there, but contemplation of the ultimate reality of Lord, that is always there, that doesn't evade a person. And when that happens, when a person is contemplating on Ishwara, whatever actions happen, actions will happen for the welfare of the entire world. It is when a person forgets Ishwara, the moment a person forgets Ishwara, he is into the dual world. So he is into the there is Bhedam. So in Bhedam or Dvaita Prapancham, person enters into like and dislike. A person tries to get attached and averted to things. So people get attached to things, try to control it. So that causes Sukham and Dukkham. So a person gets whirled between Sukham and Dukkham. Sukham and Dukkham, they come and go when a person sees Bhedam. So the moment a person sees Bhedam, he ceases to be a Bhakta. So many people might claim themselves Bhaktas, claim that okay, they are doing things the right way. But are we really doing it the right way? That is a question a seeker has to ask himself. Am I doing things the right way? So what is the right way? The right way is just one. There is no multiple right ways. Oh, can't there be many right ways? No, there is only one right way. The one right way is Ishwara Chinta Ananya Bhajanam. And the moment Ishwara Chinta is there, how can there be Bhedam? How can a person differentiate between objects of the world? How can a person differentiate between people? There can be no differentiation when Ishwara is remembered. And why is it that? Of course, Ishwara is Advitiya Satyam. So there can be a doubt. Oh, I am a Bhakta, but still, I don't know Ishwara. I know Ishwara, something is there, Ishwara, but I don't really know him. Such a devotion is not real devotion. Such a devotion is not bhakti. So we see many people in the world claiming to be bhaktas, claiming to be shishyas. Of course, we try to learn Kaivalya Navaneetam and other works, but are we real shishyas? No. Real shishya bhavam or real bhakta is one who remembers knowledge. A bhakta always has jnanam. He is implementing jnanam. A shishya is one who is always remembering the guru's words. The guru's word, what can be the guru's word other than Ishwara? Without Advitiya Satyam, there cannot be any guru's word. The moment we forget that, that is when we get into my father, my parent, my brother, my loan, and ultimately we'll end up in Dukkham. And when something goes wrong, then start blaming others, start crying out, and then finally crying out for something. So initially it will be crying out for knowledge, crying out for a guru, and finally that will get reduced one level down, level by level it will come down, and finally the Dukkham will be about, or the cry would be about worldly pleasures. So that is what would happen. That is what is happening with the entire world. So if we have to really benefit out of Narada Bhakti Sutra, there is no point learning Narada Bhakti Sutra when we don't implement it. There's no point. We can go on learning and learning and learning. We may be 100 years old and we would have learned thousands of scriptures. But what is the point of learning all the scriptures when we don't implement, we don't get the fruit out of learning the scriptures? So we have to remember that Ishvara Chinta, the moment Ishvara Chinta is not there, Ishvara Chinta includes Jnanam about Ishvara's nature. When that is not there, that very moment such a person doesn't implement knowledge or implement the scripture, and when that implementation is not there, he ceases to be a bhakta. The moment a person ceases to be a bhakta, he enters into dukkham. Whether he meets Amma, whether he learns these scriptures, it doesn't matter. That's what we see in the world. So we learn, many people go on learning scriptural works, this work, that work, Panchadashi, Ishta Siddhi, this work, that work. So we learn a lot of work, but what is the point of learning all of those when we can't remember Advitiya Satyam? The moment we forget Advitiya Satyam, we enter into Bhedam, or the opposite as well. The moment we enter into Bhedam, I like this, I like that, I have to do this, I have to do that, Nirbandham. Nirbandham is a part of Dvaitam. So Bhedam, out of Bhedam, Nirbandham comes. I have to do this, I have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. So all those are part of Bhedam. And whenever Bhedam is there is no knowledge there. And whenever there is no knowledge, there is no bhakti as well there. And wherever that is not there, there will be only dukkham. So we may be living in a very beautiful place. We may be doing a lot of spiritual sadhana. We may learn a lot of things. There is no point of learning many shastras. There is no point of doing many sadhanas. Vadantu shastrani yajantu devan kurvantu karmani bhajantu devataha atmaikya bodhena vina vimuktirna siddhyati brahma shatantare api. Vadantu shastrani, we keep on learning scriptures and we can quote scriptures. Yajantu devan, we do yajnas. Kurvantu karmani, we do a lot of actions, spiritual as well as worldly. Bhajantu devataha, bhajanam, lot of bhajanam. These days, like, bhajanam is very common. Wherever you go, oh, do you have bhajans? Do you sing bhajans? Do you know bhajans? Can you sing one? How often do you go to bhajans? So that's a kind of, that has become a fashion these days. So bhajantu devan, but atmaikya bodhena vina vimuktir na siddhyati, vimuktihi na siddhyati, moksha will not happen, liberation will not happen, atmaikya bodhena vina, without atmaikya bodham, without advitiya satyam, brahma shatantare api, even in 100 lifespans of Brahma, 100 lifetimes of Brahma, we will not get moksha unless we remember the Advitiya Satyam. So, whatever we do, Advitiya Satyam, do we remember? If we don't, then it will not give us happiness, it will only give us more and more dukkham. So, we have to constantly remember this. This is something that should always be there in our mind. Advitiya Satyam, I shouldn't forget. The moment I forget, I am entering into Dvaita Prapancham. The moment I forget, I will enter into Dukkham. Yam labdhva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stito na dukkena guruna api vichalyate. So in the 6th chapter of Gita, Krishna says that the state of Atma Jnanam, where a person is abiding in Ishvara Yogam, call it Yogam, Bhakti, Jnanam, all are the same, Ishvara Chinta. When a person is contemplating on Ishvara, when a person's mind is residing in Ishvara, Yam Labdhva, after having attained that state, after having remembered Ishvara, contemplated on Ishvara, then there is nothing more to gain. Person knows that there is nothing more to gain, and in that state, even the biggest sorrow that will befall a person, the person will not move, the person will not get affected at all. That is what we see in the Puranas. Mahabali is a perfect example. Even when Vamana was ready to take everything from Mahabali. Mahabali stood there with a happy face. He didn't move at all. It was a great sorrow, like everything is being taken away. In our case, like if one person is being taken away, or not even taken away, when Ishvara tries to take something away, everything vanishes. Vedanta goes down the drain. Of course, that's not a good usage. That usage is not good for Vedanta, but still, that is what happens. But for Mahabali, Ishvara took everything from him, but still, he was happy. So that can happen only by Ishvara Chinta, remembering that Advitiya Satyam alone is there. That Ishvara who alone is present here, that alone is there. And the effect or the result of such contemplation is Nirbandham will get reduced, Bhedam will get reduced, likes and dislikes, Ragadvesham will get reduced. I have Ragam towards my father, I have Dvesham towards my roommates, I have Ragam towards my friends, I have Dvesham towards my employer. All those will stop. All those will get reduced. There will be nothing like that. If everything is one Ishvara, if everything is Ishvara's will, if there is only Ishvara here, then how can there be Ragam and Dvesham? Tasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut bijanatah tatra ko moha kah shokah ekatvam anupashyatah. When a person knows that everything is Ishvara, then how can there be shokam and moham? How can there be delusion? How can there be dukkam? Because everything is one. If everything is one and that one is blissful, how can there be any dukkam? There will not be any dukkam at all. So here we can have a doubt, slight doubt, that in this bhakti, of course, we are in a the current state of the world is that bhakti gets translated just into bhajanam. So bhajanam is just a means to get bhakti. So bhajanam is not bhakti. Bhajanam, real bhajanam is bhakti, but the bhajanam that we know, singing bhajans, that is not bhakti. We consider that as bhakti. Whenever we look at someone who is singing, who closes their eyes, or who is closing their eyes and singing, or people who shed tears when listening to bhajans, we consider them as bhakta. That is not bhakti. That is just a means to get bhakti. So there is no knowledge at all. So bhajanam is not bhakti. But in the current day, that is how we understand bhakti. Of course, there are many people who proclaim it that way. There is no point trying to analyze it, trying to accuse anyone, but that is not bhakti. So Narada, and here is answering a doubt that in bhakti there is no knowledge. Knowledge is not required in bhakti. So many people say, oh, I like bhakti, I don't want knowledge. I'm not a knowledge person. I can't think. I can't talk. Many people say, I can't talk. I can't express myself. I'm not an intellectual person. I cannot discuss. The same thing my sister used to tell 2-3 years back. She used to tell, oh, you are always thinking quite a lot, analyzing. That shouldn't happen. Amma says that shouldn't happen. That should not be done. But now, if you ask her, she'll say as to what is analyzing and what is not analyzing. What is bhakti, she knows very well. So, we may think that bhakti doesn't involve any knowledge at all. So, Narada says, Tatrapina mahatmya jnana vismrati apavadaha. So in bhakti, there is no scope. There is no scope of forgetting Ishvara. Forgetting Ishvara's nature means jnanam. So mahatmya jnanam. Mahatmya jnanam means the glory of Ishvara. Vismrati. Vismrati means forgetting. Apavadam. Such an apavadam. Such an argument. There is no scope at all for forgetting Ishvara's glory. Oh yeah, I don't forget Ishvara's glory. I remember his stories. I remember Krishna, Radha Krishna. I remember Krishna dancing on Kaliya. I remember that Kaliya Mardhan. I remember it. The moment I remember Krishna, Kaliya Mardhana Rupam comes to my mind. Is that Mahatmya Jnanam? No. Mahatmyam. The word Mahatmyam means that which is Mahatvam. That it is very great. Mahat means that is very great. What is the greatest thing about Ishvara? The greatest thing about Ishvara is that He is all pervasive. He alone is present here. That is the greatness of Ishvara. That is the real nature of Ishvara. That is the real greatness of Ishvara. Greatness of Ishvara is not about Ishvara doing all these actions. The greatness is about Ishvara being the ultimate truth. So in many places Krishna says about karma. Name parthasti kartavyam trishuloheshu kinchana. If the actions of Krishna are great, then what does Krishna say about them? Name parthasti kartavyam. Oh partha, there is no kartavyam for me, there is no duty for me. So if there is no duty, then that means like how can actions come out of such a person? There cannot be any action out of Ishvara. There cannot be any action coming out of Jnani who is abiding in Ishvara. So the glory of Ishvara is not about the mysterious or miraculous deeds of Ishvara, but it is about Ishvara's very nature of Advitiya Satyam. That is Mahatvam. And that Mahatvam, that Mahatmyam, that is not at all forgotten in Bhakti, because Bhakti itself means a person has Parapremam, supreme love and Amritam. And Bhakti, after attaining Bhakti, there is nothing else to be achieved or attained. Yajnatva na bhuyo anyajnatavyam avashishyate. So after knowing which, there remains nothing else to know, nothing else to seek. That is Bhakti. And that Bhakti is the same as Jnanam. That Bhakti needs Ishvara's nature. So that is the same thing that Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Gita as well. Mayeva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, mayeva mana adatsva. Fix your mind onto me, contemplate on me. Mai buddhim niveshaya. With the intellect, know that I am the only truth present here, and thereby you will abide in me. There is no doubt about it. So real bhakti emerging onto Ishvara is possible when a person is contemplating on Ishvara with knowledge about Ishvara's nature, Ishvara's essential nature of all pervasive, non-dual reality. All pervasive means how can it be all pervasive? Can be all pervasive only because it is the substratum of the illusory world, substratum of everything. And without that knowledge, bhakti will become like, what will be the bhakti which is without that knowledge? Bhakti without that knowledge is of no use at all. It will be just a time pass attachment. So Narada gives a beautiful example to illustrate the bhakti, or try to speak about the bhakti which doesn't have knowledge. Tadvihinam jaranam iva. So tadvihinam, if there is mahatmya jnanam, if nature of Ishvara is not known, then it is like a jaranam. So jaranam means a woman who is attracted to another person. That means a woman committing adultery, or a woman getting attracted, temporary attraction towards somebody else, a married woman having attraction to somebody else. So it will be like that. It will be like an affair. So affairs, as we know, like we are aware of whatever is happening around us. So affair is when something happens out of just some incidentality, something which is incidental, it doesn't have any knowledge in it. So it will be like that. So that is time pass, that is temporary, it's not going to be eternal. Affairs always break up. So therefore it will be like that. Love without proper knowledge will be just time pass, it will be mere attachment which will fade away. The strength or the vigor in the attachment, that will vanish after some time. So attachment or ragam becomes bhakti when it becomes viragam, visheshena ragam. So it becomes real ragam, true love, or what Narada calls is anuragam. It is not ragam. Ragam is normal love or attachment which doesn't have knowledge in it. And when knowledge comes, it becomes anuragam. It becomes bhakti. And what is the problem with jaranam? What is the problem with jara bhakti? Bhakti, like where knowledge is not there, a person just loves Ishvara. There, nastyeva tasmin tat sukha sukitvam. So, in such a love, there is no happiness for the happiness of the other person. So, there is a person called A who he loves somebody called B. So, if it is not real love, in real love, A loves B because A wants to make B happy. Whereas in illicit love or affairs, in such kind of love, there is A doesn't care about B's happiness. A wants to be happy himself. So what is a bhakta's view? A bhakta doesn't need anything at all. What does the bhakta need? The bhakta needs Ishvara to be happy. How can the Ishvara be pleased? Of course, how can a normal person be pleased? Simple question, how can I please my father? Remember my father, call my father very often, give him more money, like we do. So do that, father will be very happy. Similarly, Ishvara can be pleased when we remember Ishvara. So that means Ishvara Chinta Ananya Bhajanam. That is the way a bhakta pleases Ishvara. And the bhakta does everything, all actions the bhakta does is for Ishvara Chinta, as a Ishvara Puja. The bhakta doesn't gain anything out of it. The bhakta tries to please Ishvara. So everything is offered on to Ishvara. The bhakta says, everything is Ishvara, I offer it to Ishvara. The bhakta doesn't want anything, but as Narada will later say, this bhakti where a person does something for another person, that itself gives satisfaction. So we know, like in worldly cases as well, like we would have experienced when we have given up something for somebody else. So we love somebody and therefore we offer, give something away to the other person. In that love, like we want to make the other person happy, that itself gives a immense bliss to our mind. And what would be the bliss? That is for worldly people, pacifying worldly people. What about Ishvara, pacifying all pervasive Ishvara? That will give us eternal bliss. So the in true bhakti, a bhakta doesn't care about anything. What the bhakta needs is pleasing Ishvara. And the way to please Ishvara is Ishvara Chinta. And their knowledge is very essential. Without knowledge in bhakti, it becomes illicit love. It becomes love where there is selfishness. So love where there is selfishness, that doesn't have surrender. Ego sense is there, there is no surrender. If ego sense is there, there is the doer. If the doer is there, there is the enjoyer as well. Whereas in true bhakti, the ego is also surrendered. The ego is also offered. There is no doer at all. Therefore, there will not be any enjoyer. Oh, if there is no doer and enjoyer, will I really exist? Yes. The person will exist. The state where a person exists without doership and enjoyership is what the Shastras call as Sakshi Bhavam. That is the state of the Atman, where a person just does action. Actions happen naturally. Actions happen normally as it happens for a worldly person, but without the sense of ego. That is true bhakti. So in true bhakti, a person has knowledge about Ishvara, and that knowledge itself makes action happen, makes the sadhaka, makes the bhakta do action. And can the action go wrong in any way? It cannot, because actions go wrong when there is the sense of ego. So So if we try to analyze whatever actions we have done and whatever have gone wrong, we can try to analyze. If we try to analyze, we will find out in all those cases, there was a slight ego in that action. We had a slight sense of ego, even if it is very slight, that is enough. The moment we think we know that itself, there is ego. Or like I am attached, that also causes ego. That is also ego. Ego means I and mine. The sense of I know or the sense of my people. So when that is there, that itself makes the action fail. Fail in the sense the action will not give ananda. All actions are done. Person does action in order to get happiness. There will be no happiness. And that will be the bhakti without knowledge. So in bhakti, knowledge is there, as we have discussed in the previous day. Braja gopis did have knowledge in their bhakti. And they said that, Nakalu gopika nandano bhavan akila dehi am antaratmadrit. So I am not the, you are not the gopi, say Krishna, you are not the son of Nanda, Nanda Gopal. You are the indwelling self of all beings. You are the essence of all beings. You are the Advitiya Satyam. So the gopis had knowledge in their bhakti, and that made it true love. So there is no seeking, there is no expectation in true love. And there is no expectation means there is no kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, and there anandam will be there. Anandam is the bliss that is achieved or attained by implementing true bhakti or becoming a true bhakta. True bhakti's fruit, immediate fruit, is anandam. And true bhakti, if I do true bhakti, like that seems a long time. I can't wait so long. I'll go to the local market and or local pub and find out if somebody is there and I can get happiness. I can't wait for long. We don't have to wait at all. If a person implements this bhakti, the fruit will be immediate. Instantaneous fruit. That is about knowledge as well. It's the same. It's not just a fictional statement or fictitious statement. It is a fact. If a person can implement this very moment, if we can implement this bhakti, please for 1 second, bliss will be there immediately. The fruit is immediate. It's not something sakshad, aparokshad, brahma. So brahman is termed in the scriptures as sakshad. Sakshad and aparokshad. Sakshad, direct. And aparokshad, immediately a person can experience it. Aparoksham, direct experience. Sakshad, I think sakshad can be said to be immediate, and aparokshad as direct. So that a person can experience it immediately. This very moment, if a person implements this bhakti, anandam will be there. So we don't need to worry about, I can implement it tomorrow. I have a lot of things on my plate. Okay, well and good. The plate will never be empty. The plate will always be full. Today, father's loan. Tomorrow, father's loan. Day after tomorrow, father's brother's loan. Tomorrow, father's daughter's loan. Day after tomorrow, father's son's loan. And then, when all loans are almost over, then the loan of old age will come. So there is no teeth. There is like can't see properly. Even with specs can't see properly. And what about hair? There is no hair. No food goes in. Is there any intellect at least? No, not at all. And what do you know? Oh, sarvam brahmamayam. What do you mean by sarvam brahmamayam? It means that I have to help my people. That will be the case. So if that shouldn't happen, we should ignore whatever is there in our plate and remember this, gain true bhakti. A true bhakta will never stay away from worldly duties, worldly responsibilities. All those happen very in a very good way it will happen if there is proper surrender. If there is no proper surrender, if there is no true bhakti, then that will not happen. Worldly duties will not happen. Vedantam also will not happen. And therefore there is no happiness in the spiritual life. There is no happiness in the worldly life also. Whereas if we try to implement this, if we try to become real bhaktas by just remembering Ishvara and offering everything to Ishvara, oh, I have to shout at my parents, I have to shout at my boss. Okay, if that is what Ishvara wants, let me do it. Let me do it very well. Let me do it remembering that there is no duality here. Let me remember that there is only Ishvara here. This is just a play. I am doing my role. Let me do it boldly. If we are able to do that, Ishvara will take care of our job. Ishvara will take care of whatever we have to do. And that is Krishna's promise, and it will definitely happen. But if we don't do that, if we are afraid of doing that, then there is no point of learning Narada Bhakti Sutras. Narada Bhakti Sutra will not be of any use. It will be like those degrees that we get and we frame it and keep it in our home. When somebody comes and asks, oh, you have a degree, what degree do you have? Oh, I have a degree in aeronautics. Oh, what do you know? Or aerodynamics, whatever it is. Oh, what? I have a job opening, like I can give you. Can you join? Oh, no, I'm not interested. That is just a degree. I got a degree, but I don't remember anything. So it will be like that. It will be like putting in on our resume that I have learned Narada Bhakti Sutras. I've learned 4 commentaries of Narada Bhakti Sutra. I have listened to Narada Bhakti Sutra of Paramartha. This person, that person, everything is done. Okay, are you a true bhakta now? Yeah, I'm a true bhakta. Okay, what is bhakti? Oh, bhakti is this. Bhakti is Narada Stutadarpila Akila Ajaharata Vismarnaya Parama Vyakulada. What does that mean? Oh, that is tough for you to understand. Don't even bother. That's okay. Are you happy? Oh, yeah, I'm happy. By the way, you were telling me that there is some job opening. I need it. Look, my manager is a crazy person. He's always scolding me. I'm not happy at all at work. So that will be the case. Bhakti is there. Happiness is also there. But dukkham also is there. So if that shouldn't happen, then we have to implement. We have to remember Ishvara. And it's not tough at all. It doesn't contradict or it doesn't go against our worldly duties, our worldly actions. All those will still happen. All those can happen, but remembering Ishvara has to be done. If we don't do that, then we are increasing, adding on more and more vasanas that will become strong. And that itself will take us away from Vedanta, away from true bhakti, away from Anandam. So with this, Narada has explained Parabhakti or supreme bhakti, supreme devotion. Somehow I am used to Parabhakti, so we can say Parabhakti, as Narada says, or Parabhakti is also fine. So supreme bhakti, Narada has explained or completed the nature of supreme bhakti. We'll start with the second chapter in the next day. Namaskar.